AI, right? But I was
Yeah.
wondering, like, so it makes perfect sense, because I was thinking, like, my brother's a police officer, my sister's a prosecutor, and I was about,
Whoa.
yeah, so I'm like, okay, this is a lot going on. I'm trying to put together
Okay.
the pieces. So I wanted to ask you, what was it like growing up there, or being policed as a child, like, or a young person? I'm sorry.
It was a different world. Also, by the way, just so you know, for the event, the screen that we built, it's actually one of the largest seamless holographic screens ever built for this purpose till now. Like, it was 20 meters long by 3.5 meters high, and it was a completely seamless LED holographic screen. So it was like brand new tech, right? It just came out of Europe, like literally a couple months ago. And so this was like fresh off, and this is something that we were playing with, of creating a 3D experience in 2D. I just thought I'd, kind of throw it out there, just so you understand. It was like a very experimental, but also let's push the boundaries kind of thing, which I
Yeah,
think is
yeah.
what the
Yeah, I've
policing
been talking
force is
like
kind of about.
yes, I was gonna do that. So policing force is kind of about that. So in Dubai specifically, I was just trying to research, and my specific question was, is Dubai that, I guess I won't say the word infatuated, but are they that focused on technology with the policing
100%.
system? Okay.
100%, 100%. And the entire event, actually, we showed that. Like, I mean, if you got the link to the live stream, right after the opening ceremony film, there's a couple of speeches, and then we actually show a point where there's this thing called a drone box, which we show in the film as well. You see this kind of floating thing where this drone comes out, and this is something that's actually coming in around the city. So yeah, I think tech is very, very, very pushed over here, in a very hyper sense. In a very, very hyper sense, it is very, very technologically pushed. Everything is app-based. Everything. I don't know if that's always a good thing, and that's just my personal opinion. It's not a dig to anyone or anything in particular. Because at the end of the day, we're all human, and therefore, coming back to your first question, that's why I put it in the heart, is tech doesn't have heart. You get what I mean? It still
Yeah.
takes people to make that
Allegedly,
happen.
allegedly.
Oh, allegedly or not. Yeah, but you know what? It will, even if it does develop a version of a heart, it will never have soul. And therefore, again, mind, body, and soul. It was, you can get one or the other, but what you will never get out of the tech is soul, right? And so, yes, the policing is great when you use the tech, as long as it's the tool to help you make your job better and quicker rather than take over your job. Because then at that point, then you don't really know.
And I was speaking to a friend of mine who's in Cambodia, and we were talking about that as well, how the ChatGPT, whatever. I'm not afraid of that. Like I said before, like it's either, the way I write and the way I do things is, I try to figure out how do I make some noise in any industry? I work in
Right.
all the, I work in, we're a lifestyle culture publication. So I do films. I'm doing the Halle Berry new scary movie thriller. I'm about to do some things with that. I'm working on becoming Lagerfeld. I'm working on doing my impressions of that. Then I'm going to be a part of the Jeep Wagoneer EV, the first electric version of that car. I'm going to meet the president of Stellantis. So that's the end of this month. So I was talking to my friend, and I was like, "That's Coco. She's in the background drinking water. My pit bull. Sorry." So basically, I was thinking to myself, like, he made a comment last night. He said that, nobody's gonna be able to work. Nobody's gonna have work on their computers anymore with the ChatGPT or the AI. And I was like, well, that's not the truth, because like you said, it still needs a soul. Like, a computer can only navigate, or our voices, right? And then some people like myself, I'm from Detroit again, and I was in the entertainment industry, and I've studied with all the greats. And I'm in a, I can do a lot of things with my voice, right? I have different
Right.
inflections. I can go lower and higher. shine. You know, I can do all craziness with my voice. My voice sometimes is hard, is raspy. So I know AI can do that. I know AI can do a 5-minute paper, whatever. But what AI can't do right now is it can't meet and hug and talk and speak to me. It can't make me, it doesn't have an emotional connection to somebody. And that's, to me, that's
what funny you is. Say that, bro. That's funny you say that. I was just on Dubai TV giving an interview about this. I think Brianna has the link and I'll ask her later to send it over to you. But this is literally what my interview, I talk about, which you can listen to. It's about this. And I even mentioned like Deepak Chopra's new app that is AI based, where he created a version, clone version of himself that's AI based. And but it's like, yes, you can get an answer for 1 + 1 = 2, but in everyone's world, 1 + 1 = not 2, because, you know, 1.1 and 0.8 also gets you to 2. Right? Like, you can do this way or that way, but each person's experience and lifestyle and background and mentality and current state of mind and heart is different to each other person. And that's why it takes a human connection for us to make that happen. Because if we're all meant to be treated like manufactured goods, then everyone gets the same thing, which is what the education system tries to do, which is why I went back into education and teach. And, you know, I teach production design as well. And that was one of the main reasons I did it, is because that was the system that was made for us to be followers, not thinkers. These are not my words. These are Rockefeller's own words, by the way. He said it. He wanted people to be followers, not thinkers.
Well, you know, I've been through the halls in the basements of an Ivy League school, literally. And it was very interesting. Also, people don't realize that Cornell is also the first, you know, Cornell was, you know, raised the first intercollegiate Black fraternity. So Alpha Phi Alpha.
Oh, no way.
Yes. So the first African-American fraternity was founded at Cornell University in December 4th, 1906 by 7 African-American men who are also, some of them were Masons. And the reason why they formed the fraternity is because they couldn't join a white fraternity for a myriad of reasons. So, make a long story short, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, when you walk through those halls, and I'm going to be very quite honest, just walk through the halls, I can, you know, and I was tapped to be in some secret societies, but I actually turned it down. And make a long story short, I just don't, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it for a myriad of reasons. But the great thing, the thing that I wanted to bring your attention really first and foremost is that some of the places in some of these places, you can feel a lot of energy, right? And I feel like, the world we live in is all about energy. It's all about, like you said before, particles, molecules. For me, it's about chi. It's about, you know, totally. Energy. I can go overseas, and I've lived in Jakarta for 6 months. I've almost, South Africa for about 5-6 months. And when I've lived in certain places around the country in the world and traveled those places, and I've done stories on these places, I learned about infrastructure. I learned about, you know, technology. I just came back from Germany and did a 10-day trip in 4 different cities where I, you know, I was able to plan it with the Germany Tourism Board, where I can actually, you know, just investigate sustainability and how they're doing things differently. I feel like America's really behind right now. The infrastructure is very, 100%. It's terrible. I feel like 100%. Dubai, yes, I feel like I knew
Canada's the Dubai. Same, by the way.
Yep. And I just feel like I was kind of like, wow. So for me, and I'm so happy we're using technology in the sense that we're able to talk to each other and I can meet and greet you and I still can feel you over this chat, right? You can still, And of course, most of my team, including myself, we're mixed media artists. So that's part of the things where, like, we all have cameras, like, you know, high-end cameras, high-end equipment, drones, whatever. Sometimes I stay in my lane, sometimes I don't. Right now, I want to, you know, what I found is that, you know, energy for me. So when I go overseas, when I meet people, I can't speak the languages, right? But one thing I can speak a smile. I can speak dancing. I can speak some things are just universal. I don't know what that music is, but I love it. You know, the food, you know, 100%. The culture, the architecture. And those are things that you can feel like when you're in a space. And so right 100%. Now, sometimes being in New York, you know, I'm in the Bronx at the moment and I'm about to head back to LA. I feel like I feel like this season, this is the 5th year of this season that I've had since the pandemic that I've been doing stories in New York, like, back to back to back to back to back. And what I've noticed is I'm starting to feel a simulation. I'm starting to feel some gentrification. I'm starting to feel the, you know, the people being pushed out. I looked at numbers, but one thing's for sure is I feel the energy. And one thing I'm noticing, that energy is not here with it. Before the same energy before the pandemic is no longer here. Before the pandemic, I felt 2 million people with a gross domestic product of about $50 billion. A year in New York. The Bronx makes about 50 billion. That's like 12% approximately of the state's entire GDP.
Insane.
And it's just, yes, it's insane. And it's like, insane. You're standing in the corner I'm not Latino, but people think I am. So I learned Spanish when I was a kid. I didn't use it. I lost it, but whatever. I worked around it, but I found that I walk through the streets of the Bronx. I ride bikes. I do a lot of, stories, not on just on, the cars. I do micromobility. So I have an EV. I have a motorcycle. I went from riding a Lime scooter story in LA to doing a Razor story going uphill. And now the scooter I have right now, it's like a Chiron. It's like a cake. It's a, which is an electric vehicle, a bike. It has a VIN number.
Yeah.
So, but it also comes with pedals, but I took my pedals off. So I'm kind of illegal right now. But everybody is right now. You know, but the great thing is that I feel the energy in what you're saying is I'm so happy you said that, because I was looking at your video and I was like, I know this has to be an immersive thing, because the shots and the close ups and stuff, I was like, wow, he's all up in there. Like, so I can only imagine when I go to some of these car shows, when I go with Lexus and Toyota, you already know they're very technologically advanced. They've had the first touch screen. I do things with them all the time. When I go to LA, I'll be doing a Crown Platinum, which is the new Sportback vehicle.
Yeah,
so,
no,
you know,
for sure.
Yes,
I feel you are. Like, our director, Ganesh, who was from Turkey, he was very, like, he was on board, because first when I wrote it, and like when we did like our first kind of production meeting and we're sitting down, also because I was designing it while writing it too. And then it's like, okay, but how is this going to, like, how are we going to do the holographic stuff? Cause everyone's like, we've not done this. Right. And then when we're talking to the post guys, and I was like, yeah, but guys, I know how this is going to turn out, but I used to VR game test back in 2001, by the way, 2001, in the middle of Dubai, when no one like knew what VR was, right? And so like, I've always been the outsider, if that makes sense. So, you know, I grew up in Dubai, yes, but I was still the outsider because I was the immigrant. But when I went to the UK to study, I was also the outsider. I was the only brown person in my class. It was just white kids. But then when I went like and started living and working in the film business, it was the same. I was the only Indian production designer at some point, like trying to build these bridges, because everyone's trying to do their stuff in their own place. So when I started cross creating, I started building out my own little Marvel universe 10 years ago, and we got 2 books published, made a film trailer, have 2 original soundtracks. Both the soundtracks, by the way, are bilingual. They both have Arabic artists, Bollywood artists, and, you know, English artists like from Canada. And it was one of the tracks we did was the first hip hop collaboration between Vancouver and Dubai. And that was my way of building that bridge. And it was called Stardust, by the way. So that also goes back to Seoul. And so it like, it goes back and forth. The next one was called The Eighth Sin. The Eighth Sin is a book of mine, which is called The Eighth Sin, which is the 7 deadly sins, as you know. And the 8th one in my world being immortality. Immortality being the 8th deadly sin. And then that, by the way, we used AI in the music video to backtrack on motion mapping. And instead of taking away jobs from people, we actually trained up 2 young students to get jobs. And so that was what I was talking about on Dubai TV. It was, we're not taking away jobs from people. We're actually giving people jobs. And what would take 8 weeks, I did in about 8 minutes by the way, my own art. It was my own film on the music video, which I shot. Then did my own artwork, but then I used AI to take my 25 pieces and create 400 out of them. But then we took another AI to take my pieces after that and motion map from my book, using words from my book onto my video. This is the stuff that would take 8 weeks. So in the world of creating, I think people are forgetting to ask the why? Why are you doing what you're doing, right? And it's like, yes. And this is the first thing I said on the show at Dubai TV. I said, you know, it's really easy to go and create the Mona Lisa in a second. And it's the exact replica, exact. Every single pixel will match. But is it worth that much? Can you tell me it's worth the millions of pounds that the Mona Lisa is worth? No, it's not. So what's the point of it? Why are you doing it? Because you created the Mona Lisa by a few prompt commands. But that's not the point. It's also the same reason of why back in the day you had people hand drafting, which I used to do back in the, you know, hand draft, and then you got CAD software, and then, you know, people didn't say, oh my god, everyone's going to lose their jobs, but they just said, well, we now have to CAD on software. what would take 8 weeks to reddraw something can now go back to a few clicks and can be done at the end of the day.
You
That's
know
the
what?
world we're living in, man.
I'm so over you right now, bro, because like you're hitting every nerve in my soul.
Hey, I'm glad to hear, bro. I'm glad
yeah,
to hear.
Yeah, I'm serious because I was so like overwhelmed with you know, I've been exhausted because the allergies, they've been wearing me out. So I was like, you know, I have to talk to this man. I don't, something told me when I saw Sudan, she sent it to me, and I was like, everyone she sends me, I love them. So I was like, I gotta talk to him. I don't care what I'm going through. And so normally,
That's
like,
awesome.
she knows my face is normally like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So my face is all puffy and stuff, but I was like, I have to speak to this man. And I'm so glad I did, because I felt your energy. Right? I
Thank
felt your
you.
energy.
Thank
And everything
you.
That you said is what I've been doing too. So we've always,
Good.
Like you said before, I actually put a moratorium on our internship program. This is the 15th year anniversary for our organization since we started it in 2009.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. 2009 with the All
Beautiful.
American Rejects on the cover in suits. So that, you know, and that
Yeah.
took 2,500 emails. But make, and, again, that goes back to what we were saying about the heart and having passion. And also, what I noticed too is that if you're really scared about this AI stuff and all these other things going on in technology, why don't you figure out what makes you special? Why don't you figure out and show the
Yeah.
world what makes you different? And like what you just hit on, that your own artwork, everything in this whole entire space, if I turn this camera around, your lab, this table that I'm on, this, that I have is a marble table. It's actually, I made it. That painting,
Nice.
that mirror back there, if you close up on it, it'll make you, it goes to about $10,000. I'm not even finished with it. And support, an organization for inner city youth kids, but a lot of things in here, even the lighting installation that you see at the top, that's all done by me. But we redid this whole
Sick.
entire area.
Sick. Very cool. Oh, dope. I love that.
So it's like a lot of little cool stuff in here, but it's all about what makes you different, what makes us different, and what makes me different from somebody else. Like, what it, like, are you afraid to go into the trenches? Why? That's what humanity is missing to me right now.
Can
I
I
feel
tell
like
you? Can I tell you the question to ask if anyone ever tells you about the same and the different? Even identical twins, Vaughn, have different DNA.
Yep. Yeah, they sure do. That's true.
Okay,
That's
even
so true.
identical twins
Yes.
have different DNA. If that is not proof enough that God actually created this entirety of it all in their own instance, in their own individuality, then nothing can prove otherwise.
What about if you
What
clone
I'm
one of
scared
the
about,
twins?
I'm
What
scared
about
about the
clone?
people running AI. I'm scared about the
We've been
guys who
scared of them.
have our data, the
We've been
guys who
scared of them.
mine
We've
our
been
data.
scared of them. We've been scared of them. We've been scared of them. And I always tell people, control your narrative. That's why we also have a book that we have called Don't Sweat This, it was inspired by Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because, you know, Don't Worry, Make Money. Also another book called Personal Touch by Terry Williams. It's like all these books that I read. Another fun fact for you is that I was one of the first out of three paid interns at Vibe magazine in 95. So the weird, yes.
Vibes,
And I,
vibes,
I,
a vibe.
yeah, it was a vibe back then. So it, Vibe was very groundbreaking. Vibe also had the number
Yeah.
one new media department. And so
Totally.
I worked in all the divisions. I took everybody out from the whole organization out. Well, I offered them lunch. I didn't really have that much money to afford them, but you know, they, of course you knew an older person was going to say no, right? Cause you know, I only made $15 an hour, but I was fortunate enough to make money. Because I had got a scholarship from Time to, you know, or I won this program. But my point to you is that I asked all of them what they did, and I don't, my sister told me to do it, but I always ask myself, why do I know all this other stuff? You know, fast forward, you know, why did God give me this internship? Fast forward. Why did I enjoy speaking to everybody on the team? Everybody from Alan Light, who's, I think it was the editor in chief of Rolling Stone now at one point, or Spin. I mean, these people are amazing. Danielle Smith, Emil Wilbekin, he was one of the top fashion editors. You know, Keith Klinskills is still one of the vice presidents at ESPN. I mean, these people are huge. And I was able to ask all these people questions. Carlo is one of the biggest entertainment people in the country. And I did all, I worked in every single place around that firm. And I wanted to make sure how that place ticked. You know, how I made,
right.
Just like you said. So when you said what you said, it hit home with me. It resonated so much, and it made me feel so good, because it made me feel like, wow, there's a reason why I got on this call. There's a reason I went with my instinct, and I'm glad I did it, because I knew when I saw that film with that heart of that little girl, and you had this villain that was trying to take your heart, you know, and
Can I
I
tell
was
you a
like,
little
what am I?
secret? This is
Oh,
off the
please
record,
do.
though. The
Please.
secret's off the record, though, right? Because I'm telling it to you, but you can't write about it. But
Okay,
this is
I won't. No spoilers.
because we're vibing. When I wrote that, It was from my heart with what was happening in Gaza right now. And the reason is I work with three different charities. And we worked for the last 6 months raising money for funds in Gaza. So I work with Penny Appeal, with Droplets of Mercy. And I did a spoken word track called Straight Out of Gaza. And the spoken word track is called Straight Out of Gaza because it was to give privilege to what Straight Out of Compton did for Compton, but this was Straight Out of Gaza. And if you message me on Instagram, I'll send you the video and you'll be able to watch it. And so I created an artist with a mask so you don't see my face, and the artist is called Musa from Water. And the track is from an 8-year-old's perspective, that whose name is Isa, which is Jesus, right? So Jesus, and the artist, i.e. myself, is called Musa, who's Moses. And so it's about Jesus talking about his brother, who's Moses, but an 8-year-old. And in the end, he talks about, but I'm just human. And so that kind of went a bit viral, and I didn't put my face on it. And the idea was I didn't want anyone to know, not because it was just me. It was just about the words of what I was trying to put out. And when I started writing this film, I was like, well, how can I subtly talk about what is happening without talking about what is happening? And so therefore it was a young girl's heart. But now I'll tell you other things that when you watch this film, now will make a lot more sense. The bad guy, when you watch the scenes of the bad guy behind him, you can see these little cylinders where he's got these other beings that he's pulling out of. This to me is what genocide looks like, right?
And you know, that is okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And that's kind of in my heart. That's in my soul. That was the story I wanted to tell. But my heart and mind had to, how do you say, mystify it and dumb it down for the audience. And therefore, it was done in the way it was done. And I wrote it in that kind of manner. It was, you are living where kids' hearts are being taken away. What do you do about it? Right, what do you do about it? And so,
that was
the off the record inside me, the artist going, I want to do something about this on a larger scale. And I even pitched about throwing in the U.S. flag in the back at some point, but everyone was like, oh my god, no, we'll get shut down for it. And no, I was like, yeah, you know what,
I mean, we don't know, they're doing a lot right now. So no, that's interesting.
Yeah, so
I was able to go to a press trip to Israel, and I was the only black person on the press trip. I'm normally always the only black guy on the press trip, unless it's, I don't know, someplace. I'm like, why am I the only black guy on the press trip? Okay, great. Anyway, make a long story short, when I was in Israel, we did a mountain bike excursion. This is about 9-10 years ago. Israel was doing a big push about their mountain bike trails. I was like, why did you guys even find us? At this time, right, we were like, what, 6 years old? They were like, oh no, because, you know, we're kicking ass. And so, we've done a lot of amazing covers, and, I'm very proud of that. And I was looking at them last night, and that's another thing you were saying. It would normally take me, for instance, if I needed to get a file from somebody, I'd call a photographer, do this, do that. Now I can just use AI to recreate the photo somewhat, right? And I can just kind of maneuver it, and I can get the photo and make it from low res to high res. Sometimes I don't even call PR people anymore. I'm like, by the time I text the PR person, I'm like, oh my God, by the time I text or email her and she's taking 2 and 10 hours, I could have already had the story up by now. And it's like, and right now everybody's trying to do skeleton crews, and I want to be a skeleton crew so I can know I don't have moles in my organizations or a clone, so to speak, right?
Right.
So when you're talking, I was like, the funny thing is, bro, is like, it's really scary to me because both my parents recently passed away in the last couple of years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. I lost my dad as well. I feel your pain. Just two years ago.
That's what I'm saying. This is nuts.
Yeah, man.
This is crazy. Sorry to hear about that, man. Yeah, same here. But I know they're here. They're not gone. They're right around me, and I can feel it. And this is why we're drawn to one another. But I think the cool thing is that, you know, when I did go to Israel, I felt a lot of energy, and that's all I gotta say. And we traveled the whole entire country in 10 days, and we went to Mount Carmel. I went to Masada National Park. I went to Tel Aviv. I went to Jerusalem. I stayed in the Bereshit Hotel, which is the hotel that's in kind of like tucked inside of the mountainside. I went to the Red Sea, this sea, that sea. Bro, I went all around there. I stayed at kibbutz. Bro, you already know, I went to Jerusalem. When I went to touch that wall and went inside of that thing, I was like, it's time to go. It was time to go. I don't know what was going on for me at that time. And it was not negative. It wasn't positive, but I'm very inquisitive. I'm also very curious, like a little cat. And I was walking around the kibbutz late at night and all that kind of stuff. It was just very cool to see a group of people, Even if they don't like each other, they still work with each other. One person, you know, these little communities, one person washes dishes, one person mows the lawn. It's like they all have relevance there, right? It makes sense. It almost makes sense. And I don't want to tell that story for a myriad of reasons. It's off the record, unknown record, but it's always off the record anyway. But for the most part, I don't want to tell the story, but something happened to me when somebody jumped out on me. I'll just say that
oh,
much.
shit.
And I had a Ministry of Tourism letter. But it all was a very interesting situation. But I wanted to go to Gaza. I wanted to see it. Now I feel like I've never had. I'm so close to it, you know. And I feel like I just wanted to see it. And when you said you said something about Gaza. The painting that I did in the back when I first found my artist voice. It took me a lot of decades. I've been doing art since I was a little boy, like a little baby, before I could do run and jump. You know, I was teased for it. I was doing all this stuff. My teacher redshirted me. My art teacher redshirted me because I told her she couldn't draw. So I did the third grade twice, which I think helped me get in the corner out. But when both of your parents are working all the time and, you know, one's on drug and the other one's at work, you don't have anybody to really police you. Again,
yeah.
So you're doing all these bad things, but that you're not supposed to do because you have a lot of time in your hand and there's nobody policing you. But one thing I noticed is that when you had mentioned that Gaza thing and about your story, I have a story like that too that I don't tell anybody that I do. I have another one floating around too, Move Like Water.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. Yes, yes.
Nice. Okay.
And I have another story, and this Say Uncle is another story, and that's a voiceover that I did. In a garage with, just on a Mac computer, like a long time ago, I threw it out there. It has a little cult following. It's fun stuff.
That's the stuff that fuels me as an artist. I worked on the big stuff and it was great to do, but as an artist, those are not the voices and stories I want to leave. Like, you know, I worked on the Fast and Furiouses. I did Star Trek in Dubai. I did Superman for 2 years in Vancouver. I did Skyfall in London. But it's like when you do these films, it's great. It's great experience, great exposure, great all of that. If you're not the top dog in it, you don't really have a creative say. Yes, you are creating within the frame of what you're creating in. But at the end of the day, the films and the stories that I want to tell, like, right now, I have a documentary coming out on systematic racism in the Indigenous community in Canada, where we have an elder who's 82 years old who they're trying to throw in jail for protecting the Furry Creek Forest, and it's called Saving Furry Creek. And, you know, on the other side, I've got a film that we're developing right now where I have the rights to, a true story, by the way, of an imam of a mosque who's like a priest, right? So of a mosque who's a leader who was wrongly addicted to opioids in the medical system. And how he had to go and do something called iboga, which is ibogaine, which is like a deep psychedelic, to come out of it. And it's like those are the stories that I am after to try to tell now. So I'm kind of pivoting not from how I tell stories, but what stories I want to tell. Because I'm like, you know, I may not be here tomorrow and I may not wake up in the morning. And what's
my
the
God,
story?
We're like twins. This is great. Cause you know, I always say people, I say for me, it's like, I've been seeing a lot of Google updates as we've all been seeing. You know, I've Samsung, I've always had the top level of Samsungs for a myriad of reasons. First of all, Samsung has the most space, they have better picture quality, they have, you know, it's just a better processor, better everything, right? In my opinion.
I'm an Apple person, but I agree with you. Apple's gone down the drain.
Real estate,
Apple used to be up there, but they don't care about designers anymore.
They don't care about design anymore.
They don't care about Samsung design. They used to. Yeah. Till Steve Jobs was alive.
Yes. See, when Steve Jobs left, that's when the heart
he was
left.
A designer.
When the heart and soul left, it became just a product. It became a clone,
yep.
An AI.
Yep.
And before I forget too, the painting in the back, and I'll follow you on Instagram and you'll see it on my Instagram too. I don't really care about social media. I was at the 140 conference. That's the initial conference for Twitter. And they were like, we want to verify you. After Pee Wee Herman was verified, it was like 200 people, Tyrese, Fast and Furious, again, another connection. It was all
he's in Dubai right now.
Exactly. All the top PR people at Skirball Cultural Center at UCLA were all in one room. And I was one black guy besides Tyrese. And I dressed real cool and I had some cool little sneakers on. And everybody was talking to me like, what are you here for? And that's what exactly they say. We heard, you know, they were trying to put me on the panel. Anyway, I met Jack Dorsey. I didn't know who he was. you know, at the time. Still really didn't care, but they asked
so
me to
you
get
didn't
there.
Know you didn't know he was
I didn't know he was gonna be there, but it was so intimate. It was only 200 of us. I mean, we hung out the whole entire weekend. Seriously, we all did. It was like a small community. Everybody from Hootsuite, everyone that you know, everyone, every major thing payout that anybody ever got in that whole social world. But what I liked about Twitter when it first came out, and I liked about Instagram, is that it gives you a story of life. Instagram was like a, you know, it was the people's magazine, your own magazine.
Yep.
Now it's
Yep.
like a, I don't know, I feel like it's a porn site. It feels like a,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
yeah, you get it.
Oh,
So,
I
and
agree.
then, without, yeah. And then, so for when I, when, so when I went to the conference, they asked me, and Jack Dorsey, when he spoke, when I didn't really understand who he was and what he was all about, but him and the other person spoke about how they worked at FedEx or a delivery system and used it to track where you were going around with your packages. And then he
Yeah.
said, and somebody else said they use it for international texting. And then they want, they called me in last minute, this, you know, this indie publication at the time, real small boutique. I even, you know, we started online. We still do print right now, by the way. And our print magazines are amazing. They're all done in-house, and they're all done with QR codes. We don't have any words. I love it. You know, we're retro.
Dang.
We have cutting edge. I'm super happy about it.
I
People are gonna,
love
you know,
it.
we just started rolling it out. The only magazine everybody's ever seen, Dolce & Gabbana loved it. Lexus and Toyota loved it. Polaris Slingshot, which, you know, Polaris.
Got to turn it into an AR VR magazine soon, bro. Says
Yes,
360.
and that's why, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, bro.
We
Yeah,
could
if
do
you
it.
need any help with like the VR stuff or whatever, let me
No,
know.
I think, I, and I've, and we have NFTs. We're on OpenSea. We have the, we have emotional support
Wait,
animals.
did you say NFTs?
Yes, we have NFTs on OpenSea. I
So,
also
you
have
know the track I told you, Stardust, which was the first
them.
hip-hop
Yes,
collaboration,
yes, yes. And
was
I heard of
also
it.
the first securitized NFT music video that came out of Canada, by the way. It was the
Wow.
first music video to be an NFT through the securities that came out from Canada. That was the music video. So it was me creating a legal frame of how artists in a legal structure can take IP because I linked the NFT to my book. So a book, published book, linked with an NFT with a full subscription agreement, lawyered with a document that artists can then use to monetize the entire piece of art. So the entire music video, the art, the costumes, the music, every bit of it, all within that structure. And then how does this become an entity? So yeah, I know I like the fact you're going down that place, but 360 Magazine is right.
Yeah, we do
You
everything.
kind of
We're
built it
nerds.
up for it. You built it up
And
for it.
we work for Marvel too. I've been working with Marvel. We do Comic-Con. We do all that. We did
Oh,
NFTs.
sick.
Yeah, we did NFTs. We
One of
partnered
my
with
best
Yeah.
friends, he's the writer for Spider-Man and Daredevil at
Yes, I
Marvel.
love them. Yeah, I love them. But I mean, I could never afford comic books. So working with them is like a dream come true because it's like, wow, you know, and then I get samples of everything. So it's a blessing. But,
What do you
yeah.
do, by the way, with Marvel?
We just disseminate their press releases about the, you know, the nerd stuff. And then this is another one of our
Oh, sweet.
bottles that we did. This is one of our bottles. It's on Solana. I think it's minted on Solana.
Sick.
6,000 Swarovski crystals. We do a lot of cool.
Woo.
So you see the 360 in it? That's our
Yeah.
actual logo. Yeah, it's our logo. 6,000
Sick.
crystals. Yeah, four artisans did it. I came up with the concept to do a water kind of base look. But yeah, bro, it's like, you already know, like, the world we live in is just so, it feels very detached. I feel like the social media did the opposite of what it was supposed to do. It made us desocialize. I feel like everybody's trying to introduce somebody
Dehumanize,
to
by the way. I say
dehumanize,
the word
dehumanize,
dehumanize
dehumanize and
because, you know,
desocialize.
people forget now what it is to be human, bro.
Yeah.
You can have two people sitting next to each other and be
Don't even talk.
completely disconnected, and yet they feel like they're connected to someone on the other side of the world because you're texting words that have no emotion, relation, correlation, or they have no context of
Right.
anything. It's just words. You can read them as you interpret them without someone else saying it. And yet you have two people sitting right next to each other on a table that don't know how to communicate anymore.
They don't. They
Zero.
don't even talk to each other. And my son is about to turn 14, and he basically he's super smart, super handsome. And he always keeps talking about Jordan. I'm like, bro, there is more things out there besides just Jordan. And you know, I worked with Jordan
By the way, what do
before.
you think the Apple Pro is going to do? You know, the Viz. What do you
Good
think that's
luck.
going to do? It's going to do
Good luck.
that and hyperlize way more of being. You remember the
The
film
tank, being by
Surrogates?
yourself.
Did you ever watch the
Yes.
film Surrogates with Bruce Willis? Do you
Mm-hmm.
remember that? We've already
I
watched that film. We know how it ends. It's everyone sitting in their room on creating, you know, avatars and then becoming fat on a couch and then
Right.
walking in virtual worlds, right? We know how this is going to end. So,
You
and
see it.
yet
You
people
see it.
still,
They're doing it. They're still doing it. It's like, get up. But
and
my
still they're
son,
doing it.
He's pretty athletic. He does karate, soccer, all that stuff. But I mean, but he's so smart. He's not stimulated. So I'm trying. I don't get on him like make him mad at me. But if he gets a B, I'll be like, you need all A's. So he'll do that. But he's like the hip, cool kid. But at the same time, $400 Jordans is ridiculous. But at the same time,
Yeah.
Jordans, you can resell them too on StockX. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's very simple. It's like I'll tell you what my parents told me when I was younger and growing up in a place like Dubai, right? Because we grew up with no money as the kids around me, because the kids around me were all rich with drivers and blah blah blah.
Rich.
So I started working when I was 9 years old washing cars. And the reason was, it was, hey, if you want to go buy something or you really want this, then you're gonna go and do it. Like, we're not gonna give you the money. You can go earn it and then do it. So I started washing cars, which that ended up, by the way, with me web designing. I was DJing and making music by 13 and 14, doing parties and events and then game testing. And that was what got me into film and photography and all of that. But it was very simple. It was, hey, if you want it, well, if it's 500 or 1,000, we'll go work for it and you'll know what the value is. And you probably, the end of it, will be like, ah, maybe I don't want the Jordans. I can do better things with this.
Right. Because for me, it's about personal style. But, and then, Sudan, she already knows we get all these samples from everything from Ivy Park. It's been a blessing to get things from Adidas. And this is Puma and this is the whole LaMelo
Sick.
Ball situation.
I
I
get
already
all
know.
of my stuff customed, by the way. I
Yeah.
refuse to give my money to brands. I don't indulge it. So everything I wear, all of my rings, everything, they're all customed,
I like
only because
customs
I'd
too.
rather give it to an artist. I'm like, I'd rather give
Thank
you
you.
someone that's creating than give it to a LV, Gucci, Prada bullshit. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And it's like you said, the one thing about art that makes it so special too, right, is that it has a story. So the painting that I made in the back, when you see it, it's made of all sustainable pieces. I was inspired after I left Germany, but I've been trying to find my art voice since I was a kid. Like, what makes me stand out? And I feel like I finally found it. So when you go on my page, my personal page, and I don't really care about all that other stuff, but when you go on my personal page, you don't have to follow me, but you'll see the art piece on there, Von Lauren at Von Lauren. You'll see the art piece
Yeah,
on
for
there. It's
sure.
sitting on
No,
there.
I'm looking forward to it, bro. And if you're
And
ever doing an exhibit or a show or something.
it's called Palestine. It's
It's
called
called
Palestine.
Palestine. Are you
Yes, it's called
serious?
Palestine. It's called Palestine. And the reason why I called it that
Beautiful.
is because when you see it, it took me. I was like a, I don't know what a fiend. I don't know what I was. I was like, I feel something. It started out as a. I can't even tell you because artists, we don't want to tell our tricks and stuff. But it has the most amazing story. And when you look at it, it looks like what Palestine used to look like.
Wow.
And
Are you
it's not even
gonna
a painting. It's
display
not even
it
a
or?
poem. It's a mixed media. I'm gonna display it. Right now it's on display and it's you'll see it. I took a wall and back here and it's we converted this apartment in the Bronx into like a live work transformative space. So we shoot all the shoots and stuff here. So we
Oh,
have all the
sick.
props here. That's why we have all the stuff. Everything's like,
Sick.
all proper-ish. So basically I can set up things. I have, I shoot people behind a piece of glass. I shoot people. I like you said, we have to figure out what makes us special and we have to accept who we are. We have to have a passion. I feel like people, once they find their purpose, that's when you want to continue living. My son is my purpose. My other true purpose is helping people, connect with other people, right? That's the whole purpose.
Right.
I want to do magazine. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this. I mean, I went to Cornell. I could have been a billionaire by now easily, faster. I mean, who wants to go into media, a field that's declined? But we also know that everything's in cycles, right? So if you're an
Right.
intelligent person, you got to know that nothing's new under the sun. Everybody's been, in 2011, 2009, when we first started, in the front of the issue, when you open the page, it had a QR code.
Sick.
Yeah. So
Sick.
it's all
Sick.
documented. So now we're doing all QR codes on every page. How does that work with us? Well, some of this conversation will be also be on our podcast, which is also on every major, platform, and I won't mention the things. I won't spoil anything, but so I'll make sure I cut that part out. But part of the conversation should be on there, and then part of the stuff that I'm gonna write about you, and I'm gonna try to get it out as fast as possible. But you'll have if you 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 we'll have you in print, but it won't necessarily be print as in like words. It'll be a QR code that's gonna connect to the website in real time that connects to the podcast, so you can look, touch, you can either touch us, you can listen to us, you can feel us. And the way we write, I write in the
So it's
form of
not
literally.
no written words
There's
anywhere.
no written words. Here you go. Let me show you.
Sick. Sick. Okay.
Aman, look at this thing. Here's a young lady that writes a lot of stuff. So we're doing a lot of stuff that we're introducing people now. So instead of doing all the celebrities like Demi Lovato, like we have in the past, David Guetta, will.i.am, we're doing new people who are more cerebral. This is a young lady that has written for every major artist in the world. This is Ray's sister, the girl that won the Brit Award for Album of the Year. So she
Oh,
wrote
sick.
Rihanna's song. She wrote all the songs,
No
Rihanna, Ariana Grande.
way.
Yes, everything. So you can see in here, you see each page. This is Dolce & Gabbana shot
Right.
at the Montreal Hotel. See, she's
Right.
looking right there. You can scan it. This is also on our app version. So right there's a QR code.
Sick.
So
Sick, bro.
so every page is
I would
full
love to
page
get a
crazy.
copy of your magazine,
We'll get a copy of it.
with me in it, if I can send you
Yeah,
the
of course you're
address.
gonna
It
be
would
in
be,
there.
I'd love to get a copy just to keep, because usually when I do magazine publishing, I usually just keep a copy. I have a box where I have every single ID of every project and film that I've ever worked on. And I started this 16 years ago. Also, when I started my Instagram account, by the way, was in 2008.
9, 8. Oh.
2008. Yeah, so the reason I started it was, sorry, 2009, is because I said when I graduate university, I want my entire professional journey to be a visual film as an artist that 4 generations after me can look back and see what the hell I was up to. And that's
And
all I used my Instagram for. That's all I
that's
used
all I want to.
it.
And I don't care. I don't care if you don't. And another thing, real quick. I don't care if you don't like my pictures. I have real friends, and one of them is myself. I feel like people right now are so infatuated with having these false friends and these false narratives, but it's like you're really missing the picture. You're not leaving your story on this world, right? And so right now, like I was saying before, all these different places, particularly America, everybody over.